Selling lies and buying time, killing people that's in line. Lower class and social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Censorship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for they bomb. They shoot, they kill, they mass our brain. They burn the kids, no one thinks gun. Trees, lie to your face. Buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See the shit, force a bear. Fuck them back, that's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill. They massacre, rape, they burn. The kids, no more things. Cut trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah. Back around again.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, my favorite little network on the entire internet. It is the 17th of October today, and I want to just give my condolences to the good men, women, and children that live in Calgary, Alberta. For attempting to step up to the plate and get rid of the Muslim mayor, Naheed Nenshi. The election was, not real, a fraud, corrupt, illegitimate. And that's unfortunate. It was a classic case of election manipulation. Started with the fact that they apparently didn't have enough ballots. So I'm sure a lot of people who had been at the polls since like 6:30 went home, and certain polling stations ran out of ballots, so they had a big delay waiting for ballots to show up. And then Calgary election.ca or whatever it was, that site, which is the main feed out of the election office, to give the numbers as they come in, wasn't working so good last night. It was a very, very slow start. And for the longest time, a total of 1,400 votes were registered for the entire for the mayors, for the councillors, for the trustees, for the public and separate school boards. They managed to muster up 1,400 votes and display those. And then the site went down. Then it stayed down for quite a while, and then it came up, and then it went down, and it came up, and then it went down. And at one point, it came up later with no votes for anybody. strange to say the least. Now, Calgary is split exactly now in the middle. If you take the other people who ran for mayor and add up their votes and add up the Muslim votes, it's within, I think, 10,000 votes for the whole city of Calgary. So Calgary is now split right down the middle. And, you know, it's going to get testy in Calgary. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You've got the, just like everywhere else, you've got the early childhood sex education. You've got them pushing the LGBTQ. You got to tell them you can't be a racist or a hater. Whatever that's supposed to mean. You can't say anything negative about a Jew or a Muslim. What the hell country are we in again? So the light rail transit systems are going to go full bore. The work to get rid of your vehicle, your private vehicles, are going to kick up. Calgary and Edmonton are both charter cities now, which means they're independent corporations for the most part. So expect your infrastructure to begin to be sold off quickly. I know Edmonton is a sanctuary city. I'm not sure Calgary is too, probably. So with the new federal immigration policies coming out at the first of the year, looking to bring in 400,000 immigrants per year for many years, look for Alberta to be run over by immigrants, and the majority of them will be Muslims. And so, you know, it's going to get real interesting in Alberta. Now, I spent a lot of time on the election in Alberta because I looked at it as one of great importance, because of the fact that as a Muslim mayor, and if we get the Muslim mayor out, maybe we can go somewhere. If we don't get the Muslim mayor out, then the story has been set, and we're going to see what happens from here on in. Now, one of the interesting parts here, we have the election ended this morning. It was this morning. It was around 2 o'clock or something, somewhere in there, when Bill Smith, the ex-president of the Alberta PC Party, threw in the towel. And from reports, his camp was not too impressed with this guy. And I said basically since the beginning that this guy's a plant to make sure the incumbent councillor who ran for mayor, Andre Chabot, gets sidelined and doesn't get any traction, which is exactly what happened. I mean, his vote count was, well, pathetic. I think it was 11,000 or something. Then the mayor won with 199, and Smith, who bailed near the end at 168,000 or something, 160-some thousand. What really threw me was the number of people that were eligible to vote in Calgary. Are you ready for this number? It was 666 and some odd thousand people, the good old 666. Which even made my wife smile. So now we have the headlines now. Our grass fire approaches homes near Airdrie, slows traffic along Highway 2. Windstorm whips up debris, traffic woes in Calgary. residents of Coleman ordered to evacuate as wildfire threatens town. A cop who took bag of marijuana home, just a lazy police officer, lawyer argues. These are the headlines in Calgary today. Not the fact that there was a fraudulent election last night. And then the next, after the lazy policeman who took a bag of weed home, who should be let off for stealing a bag of weed. Oh, sorry, he was just lazy and took it home. Sorry about that, folks. So the next is about the mayor of Calgary, and this is, what an out-of-touch tweet to send. Nenshi responds to online barb from Flame staffer. Not everyone was happy about Naheed Nenshi being reelected for a third term as Calgary's mayor Monday night, including some members of the Calgary Flames organization, which recently broke off talks with the city regarding construction of a new arena for the NHL team. So we really don't see much about communities near Saskatchewan-Alberta border evacuate, highway closed due to wildfire. Chief returning officer suggests it's time to use automated tabulators after problems with Monday's vote. Problems. An orchestrated fraud is not a problem. It's a criminal act. So Calgary's chief returning officer says Monday's municipal election, which saw very long voter lineups, shortages of ballots, and crashes of the website supplying results, could be a sign it's time to adopt a more automated approach. Now, this automated approach will be much easier to manipulate than people standing in line wanting to sign a paper ballot. And because Nenshi's working for the globalist, this is part of the game, okay? This is part of the game. This is where direct democracy comes in, okay? And I've had it out with that crew before. I had one of them on my show, and after we did the show, I was bothered for a long time by these dicks. So I outed them one more time here last week or whenever. The idea is that with the electronic vote, people think that the companies in that give a damn about you having high-speed internet access. That's not what it's about. It's for voting. Okay, it's all wrote down. Go read something. This is for international voting because we're under international law. And, you know, they keep bringing up the story about Canada being the first post-national state, which makes sense because we tripped over ourselves getting involved with the League of Nations and the United Nations. Our foreign affairs have been nothing but a treasonous bunch of cretins since the get-go. And this is the final empire building, I guess. You know, we had the British Empire and the Spanish Empire and Russian Empire and all this kind of stuff. And all boiling down now to the final empire, which is world government. And you will be voting on international subjects via the internet. So they bring in the electronic voting. It'll be that much easier to manipulate. But their own chief returning officer agrees that this is a mess. Well, it was a staged mess in order to get the Muslim back in. Then here we have the teachers again, right under that story, is former Lethbridge teacher pleads guilty to making and distributing child pornography. Well, we see that more and more all the time. It's like almost a daily dose now of a teacher or a former teacher being involved in child pornography. And what's going on in the schools is child pornography. So what does Alberta have to look forward to now? more of the same, moving it faster, and oh, don't forget the Arabic language being taught in the Alberta public schools now. So I'm hoping that people wise up a little bit and get their act together and hold these people feet to the fire. I think this is kind of almost like a positive, because this has really pissed a pile of people off in the Calgary area and in Alberta. And so they're going to be watching a whole hell of a lot closer as to what's going on. Now, I just want to run through this a little bit. I'm going to put this in the I love politicians. Not really. There's a site here that was the CBC blog. Now, this is very interesting because that's where I went first to see the vote count. But this is a CBC blog, so they're picking up the vote count off CalgaryElection.ca, and it gets really interesting. But anyways, after the election, Nenshi says there was much to learn from this campaign. He says he will not break the trust of Calgarians. Well, Calgarians don't have any trust in you, dumbass. He also says politics and people matter. The future of our community matters. In his victory speech, Nenshi says Calgary will keep moving forward and we'll do it together. That is moving the globalist agenda into the city of Calgary. Now, this is interesting, and I'm going to put this in the chat for a reason, and I'm going to make a... I have to make something up to put on Facebook or something, even though I'm in jail. Cheers from the crowd as Nenshi begins speech. Now, what I noticed about these bars and that, where these people are hanging out in, this first picture, they're all white people except for one black dude at the back. Everybody else is white. And I love this one. I love this piece. Now, Bill Smith was the contender. When Bill Smith conceded, which was still fairly early on, people were literally jumping up and down here as they watched the concession speech. And one of those of the Smith campaign group told them to go leave. One of his supporters said, apparently they were quite pissed off that, for this, concession, but the man was a plant, and people got to understand politics. If they don't understand politics, well, then they're not going to understand anything. And down here, you go down a little bit further. Well, I guess I'll have to go to page. I guess I'll have to go to page 3 on this, maybe page 4. Here we have again, Smith says camp will, okay, where's Nenshi's here? If you go down through here, if you just go down, if you go through these pages, you'll see a lot of notes and stuff. And, this is, okay, we're going to have to go to the next page. Okay, so, where is this? Just bear with me. So this is interesting. Here's some people. Supporters celebrate lead over challenger Bill Smith. Numbers from here show Nenshi 67,000 and Smith 56,000. Well, at the time these numbers were being banged around, New numbers announced, this is Robert Flesher from CBC, says new numbers announced at Nenshi's headquarters, Nenshi 67,000 something, I can't hear again for the noise, and Smith 56,000 something. Now, when these numbers were being banged around through the mayor's group, these numbers didn't exist on the CalgaryVotes.ca, which is where the vote count is. There was no numbers anywhere close to that. At that point, I think the highest number was something like 1,100 votes. But they're puking off 67,000 votes in that. Well, where the hell is this coming from? And somewhere in here, there's a note that these numbers are coming from the scrutineers. Oh, here it is, here just above it. Looky, here are some official results. Still seems behind the numbers the scrutineers are giving to campaigners. So this is after they've gone 67 Nenshi and 56,000 Smith. At this point here, this was later on, we have Nenshi at 37 and Smith at 31,000. And you go, but the scrutineers, the number behind the numbers the scrutineers are giving to the campaigns. Now, I've run in elections. The scrutineers are isolated. It's illegal for them to pass any information outside of that room. They're not allowed to bring in cell phones. They're there specifically to watch the vote count. The vote count is given out on the website, not to the scrutineers. So this is really, really pathetic. This whole thing was a complete farce, complete and total farce. Now, if you go down through here, if you scroll through these pictures, you don't really see any pictures of, here's a picture here. There's all kinds of pictures on here. But you don't see any, all you see is white people. That's all you see. Lots and lots and lots of white people. And you wonder, wait a minute, where'd all these votes come from? And this is my favorite picture. I think this is one of the very first pictures that was posted. And I got pictures of people standing in lines waiting for waiting to get in or get their ballots. But you don't see any Muslims anywhere. And the reason I bring this up, and I'm going to stick this in, and this is one of my favorite pictures. You got 1, 2, 3, 4 middle-aged, overweight women, white women, all wearing Muslim purple shirts. Now, these would be the same people if this election was going on stateside, would be Obama supporters. Now, I don't know how the whites in this country, we don't have the huge Hispanic, we don't have the huge black populations that are stateside. Canada was always mainly white, okay? Then we had the big influx of Pakistanis, who are mostly Muslim. I think Pakistan is 85 or 90% Muslim. Then we had the Chinese immigration into the West Coast. And now we have the Muslim immigration across the nation. And you have these middle-aged, white, overweight women voting for Muslim. It just makes no freaking sense whatsoever. Anyways, I'm going to throw this into the chat. And then I want to, the reason I'm doing this is because I want to show you a comparison as far as the media. Now, if you'd listen, if you'd watch this election, and people don't watch anything very closely, or they wouldn't put up with the crap they put up with. But take a look at that picture, and there's pages and pages of that going on. Now, if we go back to the Calgary story, which was up first thing this morning. Now, during the election, all the pictures, during the election, all of the pictures of the people, except maybe one or two, but the vast, vast majority, I mean 99.99% of anybody that showed up in a photograph during the election was white. Now, the headline first thing this morning is Nenshi wins third term as Calgary's mayor in election marred by long voter lineups, ballots, shortages. Now, this picture, after the win, there's no white people in it. It's so blatant. The media is so freaking blatant, and they can be that blatant because the general population is so stupid. It's almost impossible to bear. Okay, so let's see. What's this clown up to? On election is mandate and a nasty campaign. Now, this guy is the guy who called anyone basically that would vote against him as a racist, a hater, and someone subverting democracy. Those are words that come out of this clown's face. And that pissed a lot of people off. So what's going to happen over the next 4 years? I'm not sure, but there's going to be a shitload of tension going on in Calgary, I'll tell you that. Questions. How are you feeling this morning? Congratulations, by the way. Of course, happy. I can exhale a little bit after this really nasty, awful political campaign. I think we can all say, thank goodness it's over. No. Was it nasty, asked the reporter. Was it awful? I heard from the person who came in second yesterday, Bill Smith, who did, after all, win 43% of the vote. He called the election sporting and sparring. You don't agree with those words? No, I don't, because that was always the challenge in this election is that, as I said many, many times, this isn't fun and games. This is people's lives. When you throw off a number like that, I'm going to cut the budget by $200 million next year. That's not sporting. When you say, I'm just going to maybe rethink the Green Line and risk $3 billion in funding, that's not sporting either. This is deadly serious stuff. It matters. It matters for people's lives. And Calgarians deserve and got, in many ways, a real conversation about the future of the city, and that's what makes me happy. Well, I don't know about whose lives he's talking about, maybe his own, you know. But everything he's talking about here is don't cut the taxes and spend the $3 billion on a line that you probably don't need, but the globalists want you to. Next question. What was this about in the end? What was the difference? excessive politicking, that kind of frame that the man actually threatened with hope, little with hope. That's a little Obama thrown in there, and optimism, and what is possible for our community. Question: those 168,000 people who voted against you also sent a message last night. And actually, the number that voted against was not 168,000, it's 182,000 and some when you add up the other candidates for mayor. Have you got a message for them? You know, the city is certainly divided in some ways, and yes, part of it is the result of some misinformation that got repeated over and over again, and we've got to clarify with people. But it also means we've got to be thoughtful as a city council to understand that we represent everybody. No, no, you don't. You represent nobody. This is what I love about politics. This is what I love about reporters. Now, does a reporter jump on this guy for that statement? Of course not. We represent everybody. No, you represent nobody. Okay? No city council, no town council, anywhere in this nation represents anybody who thinks they actually voted. They represent the corporation. Or as the feds say, they're not even really government. They're a type of business, okay? Just like in the feudal system, okay? You have your federal tax collector, which was the main baron that the king liked the best, give him the whole thing, and then he chopped it up into chunks. We call them provinces. We call them counties. We call them towns and cities. And then he would cut off pieces of his big chunk because he can't collect all the taxes. So, and then he would cut off a chunk like a province. And then his friends who got the province chop off those chunks into smaller chunks. And it's the feudal system. And that's backed up by a conversation I had with the Attorney General's office in Ontario. Agrees that we never, ever left the feudal system. So this idea that the new mayor is saying he represents everybody or the council represents everybody should be enough to basically have this guy thrown out, but that won't happen. And it goes on, and I think the big story of this election is, again, Calgarians rejecting partisan politics in municipal elections. All 10 of my colleagues who were running for re-election got re-elected, and this council, despite its scrappiness and pernickiness, got it done. We passed two budgets unanimously. I could not find a budget that was passed unanimously by a city council in more than 60 years. Okay, so what he's telling you is that Calgary has all of its internationalists nicely in place. Let me share with you a message that came in. This is the reporter Tuesday morning here at the Eye Opener. This is from a listener, Neil, who voted for you in 2010 and 2013, but didn't last night. He says, I fear the message Nancy heard is that he won and that he should continue as in the past. The real message, given the power of incumbency, was that Mr. Nesci must listen to those who voted against him. He'll need to build bridges to tackle the business tax plan that will be upon us soon. That's a fair point, says Nancy, and I've been saying that for more than a month. The issue of the business tax, particularly with the downtown vacancy rate, is far by the biggest issue, and so we've got to work together, yada, 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 bullshit. You have 10 incumbents. You know where they stand on various issues. You worked with them before. You have four new faces. We had one on the show just a few minutes ago, Jeremy Farkas. From Ward 11, who is convinced that city council is full of secrecy. In fact, he referred to it as a chamber of secrets. This is someone you're going to have to work with on a regular basis. Are you okay with that? Now, I was talking to Faye in Calgary today, and she brought up this Jeremy Farkas from Ward 11, and he's a younger guy. She said he's really sharp. He's been going to the council meetings for over a year now and just paying attention to what's going on. Now, can Jeremy Farkas do anything inside the council? Of course not. He's only got one vote, and the rest of the council is on the side with the international agenda. But what Farkas can do is he can relay messages out to the public until the public gets it. And in 2018, or not 2018, in, will that be 2021, next election, take final control of the council. Answer from Nancy, of course, he worked incredibly hard for 2 years for that role. And when I look at the four new faces, I know all four of them. Two of them have master's degrees or PhDs in urban planning, which is international planning. That's me putting in the international part. One of them is the most dedicated community volunteers I've ever met. And Mr. Farkas has worked his buns off for this more than I have ever seen anyone work for city council. And you know what? We'll all learn together, and I think it's going to be just fine. It's going to be just fine because Mr. Farkas can't make any changes inside. It's going to be hard to overcome 13 Marxists by an actual one Albertan. But this is the thing we discussed today, and I discussed last night. I called Karen Draper, who was running for school board trustee in wards 12 and 14, and only honest one there. And they came down on her a ton of bricks. CBC came down on top of her like a ton of bricks. Facebook removed her Facebook page and attempted to hammer her into the ground. And she came in, and she's never ran in politics before. She doesn't have any PhDs or MDAs. She's a mother with a child who's going to be going to the public school system soon. And she made a respectable account. She came in 6 out of 9 candidates, but she wasn't that far off a couple of the others. So she hit mid-range. But what I told her, you know, is that, you know, this is not the end. Now you know how much work has to be put in. And so what you need to do is you need to start now. Tomorrow morning, you need to start for the 2021 election. Just like Farkas spent two freaking years before the election was called. You can't make these changes if you just throw your hat in. The election only a month, right? All of the all-candidate meetings are pre-set up. Okay, no real issues are being brought forward. It's all canned, wag the dog, if you will, right? So, you know, Farkas started 2 years before the election gaining support. So when that election got called, he's ready to go, and he got in. The problem with the people in this country and in America is they're so freaking stupid and lazy and pathetic. As far as politics are concerned, what the hell do you think controls your life other than politics? Now, I don't know who said it, but somebody said it. I don't know if it was one of the founding fathers of the United States or who the hell it was, or I should say America. But what was said is you will either affect politics or you will be affected by politics. Okay, so personally, I'm sick and freaking tired of people saying, oh, well, there's no point running a local election. Bullshit. Pull your head out of your ass once and for all. It is the only avenue we got other than a shoot 'em up. That's it. So Canadians and Americans together are some of the most what? Empty-headed, non-political whiners that's ever landed on the planet. I mean, your forefathers came here to get out from under tyranny for freedom and peace. Generations later, you got no peace and you got no freedom. Way to go, boys and girls. You allowed yourselves to be deceived. You allowed yourselves to be incorporated, which killed you. Because as far as this incorporated companies that we are stuck in and run by and ruled over by, you don't exist. You're just their cheap labor. You're the goy. You're the cattle. You're the chattel. And if that doesn't piss you off, I don't know what will. You know? But I'm going to keep going at this as long as it bloody well takes. So my hat goes off to those who ran and didn't win, who ran because they knew it was the right thing to do, but they didn't get going early enough like Farkas did, okay? And he got in. Nobody said this was going to be easy, you know, but we're this is a war, okay? And this is just as deadly as a shoot-'em-up war. Just as deadly. Because everything you thought that was isn't going to be if you don't get up and stand up and get working on this stuff. If you're not running around informing your neighbors and your friends as to what's going on, regardless if they stick their fingers in their frickin' ears, we're going down. And blaming the politicians for taking you down is about as lame as you could ever come up with. So it's way past time. It's way, way past time. Now, the other people I would like to talk to is I would like to talk to all the veterans that fought in the wars, the so-called wars, the banker wars. We have our veterans on both sides of the border who are treated like bags of shit. They were coerced into going to wars either for economic promises or certificate reasons or whatever, but they generally go to the lower end schools to recruit with all kinds of promises, just like the politicians promise. And then they go to war and then they come home and they're sleeping on the streets like a bunch of discarded garbage. Now, we're going to need some people on side here, and we're going to need the veterans. If the veterans won't stand up to protect their own nations, then, well, then you deserve to be sleeping on the street, as far as I'm concerned, because you've proven yourself to be worthless. But we need to recruit as many veterans as we can. I don't care how old or how young they are, but we need to restart recruiting them. We're going to have some people who can stand. I don't want to see our veterans end up. I don't want to see our nations end up as they did after the Russian takeover of the United States in that movie. What the hell was that thing called? Oh, do you remember what that was called, hon? Anyways, it's a movie that came out in 1987, the same year as Our Common Future came out. Can't remember the name of the movie right now, but it wasn't even a movie. It was a made-for-television thing because more people watch TV than they go to the movie, so they want to grade the propaganda properly. And in that movie, it's America after the takeover by Russia, which isn't really the takeover by Russia. What it is was the Marxist takeover, which is well underway now. And people lost their land rights, just like in the UN agendas. What's not sustainable, property rights, private vehicles, so on and so forth. And it was a huge bureaucracy that was put in place, just like has happened in America and in Canada and in Europe. And, you know, there was one scene that was really pathetic there, because instead of these people that with Russian accents standing there speaking to you, if we allow this continue, it will be people with Muslim accents sitting there talking to you, because it's the same takedown. It's identical takedown. And there's one scene there where there was a group of old veterans gathered in front of a stage or whatever, where this bureaucrat was speaking about how things are now. And it was this raggedy collection of old veterans who had fought in the wars for peace and freedom. And here they are standing, listening to a foreigner telling them that it was all for naught, and there's nothing they can do about it now. And all of this is played out as it's supposed to be played out, because it's supposed to get into your mind. But did these veterans, did they get uppity and fight back? No. They just listened to this voice that was talking to them. And you could just see them wilt. I don't want to see our people wilt. If you have the capacity to fight, if you have the capacity to stand up, then you need to step forward. Our main objective here is not to get into violent confrontations, but we must stand up. We must have people from the military stand up. We must have people from the police forces stand up. This is your nation. These are your families that are being taken down. I don't care if you took an oath to the Queen. The Queen, the royal family, is the Vatican. And the Vatican is evil. And the evil is flooding our nations. And we got to push the evil out. We got to stomp it out. And once we've stomped it out, then we got to make sure it never raises its ugly head again, like our forefathers expected us to do. How the hell we became so weak, it just saddens the hell out of me. It really, truly does. We just keep backing up and backing up and backing up. There's nowhere left to go, folks. There is no new land anywhere on the planet. I mean, these Cretans, they went into the jungles. They went up in the mountains. They found every group of people that was living their lives happily. They coerced them into becoming incorporated peoples, which meant they're dead. And that they now, who lived a peaceful, free life, are now bound and incorporated. They're chained, they're slaves, they're corporate slaves, just as we are corporate slaves. We have no government. We have never had a government. All they did was change out from company to government. They simply switched the name. And you are governments, you are company slaves. The main idea of all of this nonsense is to destroy your nation state so that you are completely and 100% controlled, just like in that made from TV movie, which I can't or whatever remember what it's called right now. There's no difference. There was no mistake that Our Common Future and that movie came out at the same time. No mistake at all. These guys know what they're doing. They're Jewish. They're sneaky. Now, what they want, I mean, it's very, very simple. What they want, they got booted. They got the boot for being assholes. God said, you know what? You were my chosen people, but you showed me that you don't deserve shit. So hit the road. And you will not have a nation. You will not have a nation until the second coming. Well, they're going, what the hell is that supposed to mean? We ain't waiting around. So their idea is to control the entire world, which they've managed to do. So they control and run the entire world, your finances, your education, your health, and everything in between. And we got to push them back. You know, and anybody that's still stupid enough to believe that the other party is going to save your bacon, you're a lunatic. You're an absolute lunatic. They are boots on the same tyrannical body, period. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, and this thing with Nancy here saying that, you know, Bill Smith, he was saying, you know, this race was full of partisan politics, not municipal politics. Well, absolutely true. Okay, but the liberals and the right left are both pushing the municipalities to implement the globalist agenda. In fact, they're not pushing them, they're telling them to do it. You don't do it, you're out of here. Because the municipalities, being a creation of the provinces have reign over the municipalities. And being in the child position, they have to listen to the parent and do as the parent requests. And that is how, I mean, I read documents years and years and years ago, how they said they couldn't just go and fire the globalist agendas in at the federal level and the provincial levels. They had to get to the local levels, because if the people caught wind of what was going on and was coming federally, they wouldn't put up with it. It was coming provincially, they wouldn't put up with it. So it's implemented at the local level. So the internationalists bring the agendas to the federal and provincial levels, then it's up to them to figure out how they're going to get it implemented at the ground level, which is exactly what they're doing. So to think that the right and the left are not involved in municipal elections is ludicrous. They are running the municipal elections. That's why it's so important that we get a hold of the municipal level. Then somebody would say, well, you just said if they don't do what they're told, they'll get pulled. Yeah, they can do that. If there's one municipality that's bucking the deal. But if we have 20, 30, 40, 50 or more municipalities giving the middle finger to the globalists from the local level, all of a sudden the game changes. Okay, it's about body count. Just the same as Farkas here, who worked 2 freaking years to get himself into a position that he could get into the local politics, because he knew that he can't accomplish dick all from outside the gates. All he can do is protest and throw rocks at the castle walls and yada, yada, yada. That's it. The only way he can have any influence at all is from the inside. So he understood that. And he understood that 1 month coming out of the gates, oh, hi, I'm running the election. You ain't going anywhere quick. So he spent 2 years chumming the waters in his ward. So the people knew who he was, understood where he stood, understood why they needed to vote for him, and he got in. But now he's in for 4 rough years. Unless they manage to move him over to their side, which they'll try desperately to do. But the Calgary election, to me, is a notice to everyone in this nation. People were sick of this turd, and yet he got reelected. People were apparently, the people I've talked to in Calgary, apparently wanted to get rid of the entire council. But only those that didn't run were replaced. All the incumbents that ran won the election. How is that possible? Okay? You gotta, you know, if you want to get rid of the mob, you got to go get rid of the mob. Or the mob ain't going nowhere. And you're either a nationalist or you're an internationalist. And if you're an internationalist, you might as well go put a t-shirt on, I'm a traitor. Because if you ain't a nationalist, that means you're not going to stand up and protect your nation. And that makes you the enemy. Now we've got to out the enemy. And we have to push forward our nationalism. You know, they made nationalism, I mean, it's just retarded. You know, you say one thing and, oh, it's anti-Semitic. You say another thing and it's, oh, you're a Nazi. No, I'm an internationalist and the Jews are trying to take down the nation and you're using the immigrants and the Muslims and the multiculturalism, which they said they're the ones that are involved in. They're completely and totally behind the takedown of our nations. How in the hell else would you possibly explain that the federal MPs, both Jewish and Muslim, went and had a discussion over Christmas dinner, of which neither one of them celebrate, and they didn't invite anybody else to that dinner except the Jews and the Muslims, and people say, oh, the Muslims hate the Jews. The Jews are tricky. Okay, simple as that. And the media is disgusting because the media knows exactly what the hell's going down here. So, that will be the last show, I think, on the Calgary election. But it has to get said. And it's not just about the Calgary election. It's about the attitude of the people in this nation, coast to coast to coast, and also throw that out into the court of the Americans. We have to be nationalists. The nation is the people. The nation is the rights of the people. And it's being taken away from you. Your nations are being destroyed from the inside. So everybody get with the freaking program. Anyways, we're out of time. Don't mean to be too preachy, but gotta say what we gotta say in this particular case. Everybody take care and remember, nationalist or international. They kill, they mess up the rain, they burn the kids, nobody's gone, trees, loud, to your face.